Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast as we talk with Bernita Jackson, who hasn't been able to do much of that lately. The one word that scares me to death is laryngitis, and that's what Bernita's been battling. But fortunately, she's back in almost full voice, and glad to have the Stain Gang Podcast back this week. And despite the laryngitis, you were able to coach the team up to a big win over UT Dallas last week.
Yes. We were excited about that. We needed it. And so it was a good way to go out on the Thanksgiving break.
Whatever holiday it is.
One of them.
We're definitely in the Christmas season now, and it's going to create kind of an odd schedule for the next couple of weeks for you. But let's talk about the 76-42 win over UT Dallas. What did you like about what you saw out of your team, and what improvements did you make?
I thought we were definitely scoring the ball a lot better. I thought Kirby Cash and Amelia Steele settled in a lot more for us and was able to, you know, kind of get going offensively, so we weren't all Zaria Carter or bust. So I saw balance offensively. I mean, defensively, that was probably our best defensive game. And so we're starting to figure out how to turn that defense into offense and not turn it back over. So I thought from that perspective, you know, we have a really young team. We have one senior who starts and plays a lot of minutes, Zaria Carter. And then after that, you know, I start three freshmen and a sophomore. And so from that perspective, we're young, but I feel like they're figuring it out and they're starting to gel. They're starting to figure out where their shots are, where their spots are. They're starting to understand where their teammates will be, and so they're not forcing the game, and they're playing a lot more discipline right now, which is good. Our field goal percentages have gone up in the last two games since we've been just sharing the ball more, especially specifically this past game. And so I'm looking forward to seeing that progression continue, especially into the month of December. That's going to be important for us.
No, it's a good point, because you did shoot the ball even better against Lubbock than you had been shooting it. So it's not just one game. But right. The other thing I noticed is when you got the lead on UT Dallas, it seemed like players relaxed.
Yes.
And the shoot, we started to see what they're capable of. Mm-hmm. I guess my question to you is, how do you get in that state from the start of the game where you're just relaxed and just playing the game?
You know, from that perspective, I think every team is different. This team specifically, if they see that I'm a little bit more relaxed, they tend to relax. So I've had to be intentional about going against the very core of me, which is very intense and like, let's go, like, let's play. Because they feed off of that.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because when I first started covering Midwestern State, Noelle Johnson used to pace up and down the sideline. She was a very intense competitor. You knew Noelle a little bit. And then one season, she just started sitting down. And this was before she was sick, by the way, quite a bit before she was sick. And I was like, Noelle, what's going on? She goes, I've got to be more relaxed, because the team performs better if I'm more relaxed. Mm-hmm. The more tense I am, the more tense the team is. And I mean, we've talked about that for years in sports, is that a team is kind of a reflection of their coach.
I've noticed that about them, and so I try to adjust to them and what this team needs. Not every team is like that. There are some teams that, you know, I've coached in the past where they'll like, if I sit down and relax, they'll literally relax and not play hard. But this group, you know, they play a lot better when I'm just a little bit more relaxed and I let them figure it out and play through things. So I have to adjust with them. And even our practices, we've adjusted in that regards. Because when they're I don't really like the word relax when it comes to sports. But just to answer your question, when they're more, you know, just settled in, we make more shots, and you really can see the skill. You really can see the talent. You can see the IQ better. I think some of those early games, it was nerves more than anything. And I really
think
a lot of tension. I also think when you're really competitive, you want to do well right away. And so for our young kids, like, they wanted to do well right away, and they had to learn, you know, you will do well, but you're not going to do well if you're trying to force it. And so trying to get them to back off of forcing things and just trust each other has been a process. But I thought Tuesday was a good inclination for us as a staff that we're on the right track. We're making progress. Our turnover numbers from the beginning of the season, we were up at 26. We're down to 18. And so that number needs to keep coming right. down, because as that comes down, as our field goal percentages go up, if we're making shots on those possessions, then the numbers will be in our favor. And so if we would have made more free throws, we could have easily scored 80 points on UT Dallas. And so we're going to continue to look at small things that we can get better at and not be satisfied with just a win. You know, we need to get better in every category.
UT Dallas is a team that's going to be in the Lone Star Conference next year. How do you think they'll do as a Lone Star Conference team?
Oh, I think they'll do well. I mean, Joe is a great recruiter. Some of the kids we have on our team, you know, he recruited some of the kids on his team we had talked to. I mean, he definitely is a great coach. He's in a great location with a beautiful campus. And so I think it's not hard to recruit to Dallas. And so you can probably call anybody and they'll be interested in going there. And he's a great guy. He works hard. And so I don't think he's going to struggle coming in. And I thought it was very wise of him to schedule so many Lone Star games before coming in. So it helps him. And me and him talked about that before the game. He was like, you know, I wanted to kind of see where we were at, you know, since they're independent this year. He was like, I wanted to just kind of throw it out there and
right.
see how we would land. And he's actually been competing with Lone Star
They
Conference
were within schools. 10 points of St. Mary's,
they
I
were,
believe.
We're up on them most of the game, and St. Mary's came from behind and beat them. And so he's been doing really well, really well. So.
And that's a team you'll be seeing here in the not-too-distant future as well, St.
Yes.
Mary's.
Yes.
So.
Yes, right after final exams, we'll get St. Mary's and then St. Edward's.
But first up, you got to face TWU, who was previously ranked number one in the nation. They lost to UT Tyler, so they fell. One of the polls dropped them 12 spots, which probably was an overreaction.
Sure.
But I think they're still number four in one of the polls as well. Whatever their ranking, which is, by the way, unimportant, they're a really
They're
good
right.
team.
Yeah. Yeah, we get to start out conference play with the three top 20 teams, the three best teams in the Lone Star. I mean, I don't. As a matter of fact, I need to call the Lone Star office and see who put this schedule together.
Who thought this was a good idea? Well, wait a minute. Now, 2 weeks ago, you said it was a blessing.
This is me trying to find the silver lining in it all.
What did you learn about your team from that Lubbock Christian game? Because we didn't get a chance to really talk after that.
I thought Kirby Cash, again, she's a freshman. I thought she played well. I thought it took us a little bit too long to find Grace Foster, who's, by the way, you know, one of the best players in the country. And we talked about her and we scouted him. And so once we finally figured that out, you know, it's just one of those things where you can't let good players get their rhythm early, and you got to kind of contain them early as much as possible. I thought we did a really good job on Robertson, who's actually one of their second leading scorer, but then Macy Maddox, their point guard, did a great job of stepping up and filling in a gap of scoring for them. And so we need to do a better job in that regards in containing everybody. But I thought, like I say, my freshman Kirby Cash played very well. She came out very confident and poised. I thought our press bothered them a little bit, kind of got them out of their rhythm early. We didn't get beat on the back door the first possession of the game. That was like a point of emphasis. Don't get beat on Steve Gomez back door. So we'll keep working on it, getting better. They still got to come to us and play here. But at Lubbock is just a tough place to play. And so our kids getting that experience early, I do think that helps on a serious note. It does help. You need to feel that tense college environment. And the Lone Star, again, is the best conference in the country, in my opinion. And so getting to get that test early on, it sets a bar. It sets a standard of how we have to play. And the big takeaway from that game, I told them, is you shouldn't just lose and walk away. Like, you should lose and yet still learn something, which I think you could learn from winning too. But, you know, you never saw, when we went on our runs, you never saw Lubbock Christian go away from the game plan. They continue to execute. They continue to believe in what they ran. They continue to believe in their plays and their defenses and in each other. And from that perspective, we can learn. We could take a page out of their book and understand basketball is a game of runs. Every team will go on runs. But it's the team that sticks to the game plan that understands, you know, we got to play the long game with this execution stuff and not start kind of freestyling or winning the game on a one shot. You know, there's no
– Don't want to play hero ball.
Don't play hero ball. And that was kind of what we got into early on with this team. But they're learning. They're growing. They're adjusting. They're starting to figure it out. We pulled clips from that game because there were some really bright spots in that game. We went on some runs. I thought Alyssa Hutterer came off the bench and hit some big time shots for us. And so there were some good things, but we've got to figure out how to piece it together for 40 minutes, which I thought we did against UT Dallas.
I was going
to
say, it seems like that fed into the UT Dallas performance, mm-hmm. based on what you're telling me here.
I think so, because we pulled clips from even the UT Dallas film and kind of looked at what does it look like when we execute. And every time we execute and work together and work as a team for a great shot, we look good. We're settled in. We're knocking down shots. So it's just a matter of building that trust and that confidence and just trying to show them visuals of what we look like when we play together.
You're talking about great players, you're going to see another one in Ashley Ingram.
Oh, yes.
And her supporting cast is also outstanding. But Ashley Ingram is one of those players, a little bit like Grace said, Lubbock Christian, she can play anywhere on the floor.
She can, and she averages a lot of assists for them as well. And, you know, we've been telling our team about her. We've been, you know, trying to go through the scouts and stuff like that. It's hard to simulate a player like that, you know, in practices. But, no, she's good. She's, you know, player of the year. She's played in a national championship. That whole team has played in a national championship game. And they're better this year. They added some nice key pieces this offseason, and then they did that international tour, just like Lubbock Christian. They did an international tour this past July or August or something like that. And I think that really helps build your chemistry, too, when you get to play in that preseason heading into.
And you get those additional practices.
Yeah, I think that kind of stuff makes a difference. And so they're good. They're going to be a well-oiled machine. Now, they dropped one to UT Tyler, but UT Tyler is a good team. You know, they're no slouch.
Well, at least it'll be a while before you see UT Tyler.
Yeah, two
it'll
more
It'll be
days.
All the way to Friday.
it is, though, but they're both
what
really
did you,
good
What
teams.
Did UT Tyler do that was successful against TWU?
I think their length out on the perimeter bothered them defensively. And then I just thought that Texas women's didn't necessarily play with the same sense of urgency that I had seen them play with in all the games leading up to that. So I don't know really what it was, but definitely UT Tyler's length, because they have those really long guards at every position, and so it really bothers them. And then they were able to turn them over a little bit and just force some bad shots. Shots, I say bad shots, Texas women normally hits them, you know.
Right.
So they weren't able to hit them, and they held them, you know, to a pretty low point total. So but I think from that perspective, that's kind of UT Tyler's bread and butter. You know, they're those long, lengthy guards out on the perimeter that frustrate you. It's hard to get your shot off if you're not used to creating space against bigger, taller guards every day. It can frustrate you. So
when we get to Friday, that seems like it could be a problem for Midwestern State.
It could be. I mean, we have some length on our perimeter as well, and so it could be. But we practice against it every day, so it shouldn't be. I think it's a little bit different when you don't practice against it every day. So we recruited some length out on our perimeter, 5'10", 5'11", guards. Kirby Cash technically is like a guard / post, so she
It's played. Hard to – in fact, when I was preparing for the game, writing the preview for the game, I called her a swing man because she's kind of a guard, kind of a forward. It's hard to pinhole her.
Yeah, it's good. You don't – players like that, you don't want to pinhole them, you know. You want to utilize the fact that she can guard on the perimeter and she can guard inside. She could play on the perimeter. She could score in or out. So, yeah, no, we play against her every day, so – And then we got Emmy Steele, who's about a 5'10 guard as well. So we have some length on the perimeter that we're used to kind of playing against every day. It's still going to bother us because they're good at what they do. And so we just have to learn how to adjust, create the space to get our shots, execute our stuff. If they just execute our stuff and swing the ball, the space will be created. They just have to be disciplined with that piece.
You mentioned Amelia Steele, and she's a player that, as a spectator, she's the type of player I like to watch because she freely shares her emotions on the floor.
Yes.
I think she's a fun player to watch, and we're starting to see some of her personality come through.
Yeah, Yes, absolutely. Love watching her play and seeing her grow and develop and just kind of gain her confidence back again. Emmy is a great player. She's got a huge amount of potential. I think we're only seeing sparks of what all she's capable of. And she was in watching film with me yesterday. She wanted to, you know, ask some questions about how she could get better defensively. And so when they're hungry like that, you know, their upside is huge. So excited to see her keep progressing as we go through Lone Star play.
So it's kind of a tradition here on the Stang Gang podcast with Bernita. We have to have the Zaria Carter hour.
Ah.
Zaria now with 5 double-doubles. That leads the nation among Division II players. She also leads the nation with 6.7 offensive rebounds per game. She's the third leading rebounder in the country with 12 boards per game. She's 19th in the nation and second in the conference with 19.3 points per game. Second in the conference in field goal percentage, second in the league in field goals made and attempted. She also leads the conference in steals and is fifth in the conference in blocks. Is there anything Zaria can't do?
Well, I wouldn't have her bring the ball up against the press. But
fair enough.
You get her in the half court, I trust her with my life. You know? So, yeah, no, she is doing an excellent job. Very proud of her and the work that she's put in and the things that she's been able to do. I mean, it's unheard of. I really wish that, you know, I've gotten to coach her for the last 3 going on 4 years. I wish that she could have had all 4 years here at MSU because she would be down in some record books if you ask me. But
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Mm-hmm. She absolutely, even as it is, mm-hmm. she's going to go down as one of the great players to play at Midwestern State.
Yeah, she's doing an excellent job. I really love her poise that she's playing with. I love the fact that she's not playing rushed and she's really figured out that soft touch around the rim. She's got a good feel for the basket. And she just, even when she's like, because she started out this past game, I think she missed her first 3 field goals and she adjusted within the game, got to the free throw line. This one possession, she got the rebound and went up and finished and got another and one, went back to the free throw line. I was like, that's got to be frustrating. Like if you're coaching against her, like I know that's got to be frustrating. But, no, she's good. And I'm glad she's on our team. I'm glad she's on our team and playing for us. So she's just going to keep getting better. Lots of games left. And so we're excited to see how she keeps progressing.
The other thing I always hear about great players is they make their teammates better. Do you see that with Zaria?
Absolutely. I think she had like – 5 or 6 steals and a couple of assists, which those numbers will keep going up as teams keep trying to game plan and double and triple her, which the double team doesn't bother her. I've spent a lot of time with her, both me and Kevin, teaching her how to read and score in double teams. So double teams don't bother her. But once that third defender comes, we're like, okay, you got to find somebody else. 3 is too many. But no, she does. She makes everybody better. And she talks to them all the time. If you watch her, she's like talking to them and telling them. And she'll be the first one to cheer for them if they make a shot or if they make her a good pass and she scores on it, she'll be the first one to cheer for him. She's a really good teammate.
Yeah, she's been great to watch, and I know we're just going to continue to see her excel as we get into a conference, and particularly with these games you've got coming up, you're going to need Zari to play.
We're going to need her. That's right.
It is so great to hear your voice. Did you and Kevin have a good Thanksgiving?
We did. We had a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy some family time and some really good food.
All right. Well, I'm thankful that you're back doing the Stang Gang podcast, and good luck against TWU. And I'll see you in Tyler. Unfortunately, with the TWU-Dallas Baptist, you're split.
It's okay.
And we're going to go to Dallas and cover the men. But good luck at Kitty McGee Arena.
Thank you.
That'll be a tough place to play.
Yes.
Bernita Jackson here on the Stang Gang podcast. Be sure to tell your friends about the Stang Gang podcast. And remember that before the holidays, Midwestern State will be back home at D.L. Ligon Coliseum to play St. Mary's on December 15th and also playing St. Edward's December 17th. Both of those games will be 2 o'clock tip-offs. We'd love to see you under the dome pulling for the Mustangs. I'm Pete Stein. So long.